Well, this is part six of Knowing the Good News, and our title for this evening is How Does the Good News Change Us? So, it's quite a long section in the Romans 1 to 8, which this series is drawn from, so we're certainly not going to be reading the whole section, which is Romans 6, verse 1. To chapter 8, verse 4. So we're just going to read some verses from that. If you turn, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the first 14 verses of it, and then we're going to go to Romans 8 and read the first four verses there. So this is what the Apostle Paul writes. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives, he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Over to Romans 8, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Amen. When we believe the good news, we are declared right with God. We are no longer condemned for our sins, but stand before God in his own righteousness, which he has given to us through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible calls this our justification, and it describes every believer as a saint, literally as a Holy One. And this righteous standing before God in Jesus Christ is something that will never change for the believer. That is our standing with God. But when we believe the good news, we also begin a personal relationship with God. And it is through being in relationship with Him that God begins to change us and to make us more like His Son. From the very moment that we receive Christ as our Savior, God begins His work of making us into the people that He wants us to be. And the name that the Bible gives to this process of change is sanctification. It means to be made holy, to become holy practically. Over time, our lives show that we are in relationship with God and are being changed by Him. Now, people can have wrong ideas about what it means to be holy. If we want to know what true holiness looks like, then we must look at Jesus. God intends for all of us who are His people to grow in holiness and to become more like Jesus as we live in relationship with Him. Now, in this section in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, right through to chapter 8, verse 17, the Apostle Paul helps us understand how God brings about this change within us. Paul tells us that God has broken sin's power over us and has given His Holy Spirit to us so that we can live in a way that is pleasing to Him. The good news tells us that God has given us everything we need to live a holy life and become more like Jesus. And I'm going to tell you three major truths that Paul tells us in this section as he unpacks the good news. Here's the first thing he says. We have a new life. Let me read again the first four verses of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 6, verse 11. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. It is through our new relationship with Christ that our old relationship with sin is ended. Paul says, we have died to sin. And to help us understand what this means, Paul points to our baptism, which shows how sin has lost its power over us. We should note that Paul clearly expected all believers to be baptized. Otherwise, his appeal to baptism, how would that work if the Christians turn around and go, well, I'm not baptized? The New Testament sees nothing other than baptized believers. It has no category for unbaptized believers. Baptism, that is when a person is put under water before being brought up again, it's a symbol, an illustration of death, burial, and resurrection. When we are baptized as believers, we are showing that we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ, and we rose again with him. We are saying through our baptism that our old life is finished, and we now have new life in Christ. Sin is no longer in charge, for the person it controlled is dead. That's what baptism's saying. Baptism does not change us, but it points to the change that God has already made in us when we believe the good news. It's a public, symbolic celebration of what God has done for us through the grace of Christ. It points to the change that God has already made, and it says sin has no rightful claim upon us and our new life in Christ. We've got a new life. Galatians 2:20, classic verse. Paul says, representatively of all believers, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, it's so important to remember this because our old sinful nature will still try to control us. And this struggle, this fight, this fierce battle between our old way of living and our new life in Christ, it will continue as long as we are in this world. As Christians, we do not need to give in to our old nature, but can, verse 11 of chapter 6, we can count ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We have a new life. Second big thing that Paul says in these chapters is this: we serve a new master. Romans 6:13. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Verses we didn't read, Romans 6:18 to 19. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Just as you used to offer yourselves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When we believe the good news and understand all that God has done for us, We know that there's only one way that we should live our lives. We should serve God and seek to obey His will in all things. It would be wrong to continue to live a life controlled by sin and marked by wickedness. We belong to God and should offer everything, everything that we have to Him. Our bodies, our possessions, our time, our energy, our abilities. There is no part of our lives that should not be offered to God and placed under His control. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. An incredible two verses, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. For Christ's love for us compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. We have been set free from sin and for God. We are saved to serve. And it is in serving Jesus Christ, of course, that we then discover what it is to be truly free. So we have a new life, we serve a new master, and thirdly, we receive a new power for living. Listen again to Romans 8, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. As believers, we are called to live holy lives, but this is not something that we are able to do in our own strength. God's law can tell you how you should live, but it cannot help us to carry it out. It is only through the indwelling Holy Spirit that we receive the strength that we need to live in the way that God requires. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit and knows His leading in their life. And it is as we follow the leading of the indwelling Spirit that we grow in holiness and become more like the Lord Jesus. Paul takes this up in Galatians 5 in much more detail. Verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings life, freedom, and power. He is with us at all times, encouraging us along the path of holiness. He creates new desires within us and empowers us to behave in a way that honors God. We must never forget, as believers, that our sin is hurtful to Him and goes against His purpose for our lives. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So those are the three big points coming out of this section. How does the good news change us? We have a new life. We serve a new master. And we have a new power for living. That's why it's good news. But I want to just take a moment as we close and just say something about holiness and the Christian. God begins the process of sanctification in our lives the moment that we believe the good news. And as we then set out on this pathway, this highway to holiness, it would be good to remember the following. And I'm just going to tell you six things that it would be good to remember as you travel along this highway of holiness. And I'm just going to give you a bullet point and a supporting verse or two. But you've got to keep this in mind. Number one, all Christians are called to live holy lives. All Christians. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 to 5. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. All Christians are called to live holy lives. Number two, we grow in holiness by cooperating with God's work within us. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. Paul writes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. We grow in holiness as we cooperate with that deep work of God within us, prompting us along the road of holiness. Number three, our growth in holiness does not happen suddenly, but over the course of our lives as the Holy Spirit changes us. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Paul writes in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, about this growth of fruit in our lives, which happens over time, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Number four, all Christians are called to live holy lives. We grow in holiness by cooperating with God's work within us. Our growth in holiness does not happen suddenly, but over the course of our lives as the Holy Spirit changes us. And it is by understanding and obeying God's word that we are changed. The Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them, his people, by the truth. Your word is truth." That's the means. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Number five, we are strengthened to live holy lives through spending time with God in prayer. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Hebrews 4, 16. "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." And sixthly, and finally, we are helped and encouraged to live holy lives through fellowship with other believers. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Colossians 3, 16, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." The good news is that God loves us so much that he will accept us just as we are. And the good news is that God loves us so much that he will not leave us as we are. Amen.